Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Alex Leahy mit Everyday Star Weekend. Heute Abend spielt die Künstlerin aus Australien im Privatclub und jetzt ist sie bei mir im Studio. Wir quatschen ein bisschen über die tolle Debüt-LP, I Love You Like a Brother. Wir sprechen auch über die Pläne für das Konzert am Abend. Über das Politische im Privaten müssen wir reden. Gleiche Rechte für alle Australierinnen. Die Vorbereitung der Alex Leahy auf eine Karriere in der Musik. Wir sprechen über Saxophon-Soli. Und was weiß ich noch alles. Hello and welcome to Flux FM, Alex Leahy.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Thank you for coming. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
Cool, where are you coming from? Have you played a show yesterday?
Yeah, we played in Hamburg last night.
Nice.
So we came straight from there. Yeah.
Nice. And that's a well-written itinerary because from Hamburg to Berlin, it's easy to drive, I think.
It's very easy. Straight on the Autobahn and just go for gold. Yeah.
Cool. Congratulations on your first LP. We've already been fans when you put out B-Grad University, your EP. Now the LP is out and it's a record that does combine a certain melancholy with humorous moments and a record that does work with punky vibes and poppy arrangements. There's mixtures on that album that we really love. And those mixtures happened on B-Grad University as well. How important is mixing things up for you as an artist and for your art? I mean, it almost seems like as if you had finished some of the songs and then you're like, oh, we have to put another twist into there lyric-wise or something like that. Does that work for you like that?
Not really. I just kind of like, to be honest, I very rarely rewrite things, which maybe is why they turn out the way that they do, because they're not particularly like, I don't know, like I don't really get into the nitty-gritty of that sort of stuff. It's just kind of like what happens and I just go with it, and then you kind of end up with what the song is in the end.
Yeah. I think there might be a little of that old saying in there that goes tragedy plus time equals comedy.
Yeah, that's definitely a thing.
Because I've read that you take a little time before you write about things that happen to you. You need a little bit of distance.
Yeah.
And then after a while you can start writing about those things that probably were sad, but with the little bit of time in between, sometimes those things seem fun. Funny, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's like the best way to get over something is just to be able to laugh at it. and yeah, like I find that if something really bad has happened to me, to sort of, unpack it then and there, like in the moment, I just find that I get more sad and I don't like feeling sad. So sometimes I just like to process it and then, and then maybe, look at writing a song about it or, sort of like, unpacking it in that way after I'm feeling a little bit better and maybe can see the humor in it or see it for what it really is.
Yeah, I really think that's a good recipe to still talk about things that happened to you that were sad, but not dive into the sad artist's pool too much. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, I know what you mean. I mean, at the end of the day, bad stuff happens to all of us and, very rarely is it the end of the world. And, when you actually get it into perspective, it's kind of funny to look back and be like, oh man, I was so like ridiculous or I was so over the top about how I felt about this.
And I think the therapeutical value is kind of like the same, if you look at it like one day after the sad thing happened and you're going to be real deeply sad while thinking about it, the process might result in the same thing as if you looked at the thing like years later. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. I totally know what you're saying.
Yeah. Your record does show as well that there's a political aspect to every private life out there, right?
Yeah, sure.
The private is political, as they say. How important is keeping political ideas in the back of one's head when it's writing an album in 2017? Because it's like it's a year that's been fueled with political controversies and discussions and stuff. And I really think, or I have the feeling that more and more musicians are aware of the fact that even if they write love songs only, that they might have an influence on political views and issues.
Yeah, totally. I think like at the moment in particular, like, I mean, you can speak specifically to Europe with the way that the economy is sort of shaping up and, Brexit and all that sort of stuff. Like, I think that there are a lot of big, there's a bit of a political climate at the moment which is affecting everyone. It's not just like the 1% or, or people down the very bottom, like the middle class all of a sudden are very much affected and, and a big part of people who consume music are the middle class and the big part of, big portion of people who make music are the middle class and we're all like very much affected by these things, like whether it's, heavy right-wing policy in America or, like I said, the economy in Europe or, the marriage equality debate in Australia. Like, people are very, very much affected by politics at the moment, and it's great that people are talking about it.
Yeah, and that's another thing that I really wanted to talk to you about is the fact that there's this postal survey going on in Australia right now. I think people have time until the 7th of November, Australians, to decide whether they're pro or anti-same-sex marriage.
Yeah.
And it's like a super exciting thing that's happening right now. And one, I think one has to be a bit scared of the results because Australia is made of rural corners, rural areas.
Yeah.
And I don't know how far people are with when it comes to same-sex marriage in those rural areas.
Well, yeah,
What do you expect from the as a result?
I don't know, which is quite scary. Yeah. I think it would be narrow-minded to generalize about people in rural areas, you know, with their opinions on that sort of stuff.
It's another prejudice, you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly. Like,
yeah, that's true.
But I think that, I've spoken to many friends about this, and at the beginning of this whole survey thing, it was like, oh, well, surely it's going to get through. Surely it's going to, like, same-sex marriage is going to be what, you know, broadly accepted by the Australian population. But the more you reflect on these things, and again, like talking about Trump and Brexit and those kind of, like, yeah, democratic, decisions that have gone the way that no one thought would go, you just don't know what to expect, but you hope for the best. And yeah, you encourage discussion and make sure that people know what they're, you know, what box they're ticking and what it means for the broader, you know, community.
Yeah.
But it's just a real shame that, you know, the Australian government couldn't step up and make a decision and for the greater good. And they know it's what the right thing to do is, but they just won't do it. So, yeah, it'll happen eventually, but it's just a real bummer that this is going on right now.
Yeah, it's 2017, right? Even the Germans have realized that same-sex marriage is just something to give equal rights to everyone, right?
Oh, yeah, it's just like, it's just not that big a deal getting hitched. And, yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it's, percentage more weddings that people can attend, and isn't that fun?
I think so too. Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be as complicated, but there seems to be like a conservative core of people in every country nowadays
that
they didn't like the way things developed, or they didn't follow the whole development. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either, but, it's time to move on.
Yeah. Now, I really think, and I really love that about your music, because I think it might help in some rural household in Australia, maybe to listen to a song like You Don't Think You Like People Like Me, because it's like a, you know, then the message is kind of like hidden a bit.
Yeah, for
sure. So you're not looking at the song and you go like, oh, this
the penny
woman
drops.
Yeah, that she tries to put her opinion into my head with this song. I can't listen to it. Then it goes. I think it probably should work for a few people out there. But it's exciting times, and it's strange because when one's looking at the musical output from female artists from Australia in the last 2 to 3 years, I mean, from when one's looking at Australian artists on our playlist, yeah, I think 70% are women.
Yeah, right.
So you look at that scene and you go like, wow, Australia must be a safe haven for feminist ideas and a safe haven for LGBTQ rights, you know what I'm saying? But when one's looking a bit more closely, it's a different animal.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's a pretty, like, you know, I think you can sort of put that brushstroke across like a lot of, like, big markets, like, I guess, like the US and Europe and that sort of thing. Like, I think, in Australia, like, the wonderful thing about the music community in Australia is that it's really vocal and, the standard of practice is really high in terms of, like, having safe spaces for people, for women, for, you know, the queer community, and making sure that everyone's safe and that no one is ever put into an environment where they feel threatened or somewhat compromised. And it's really awesome that there are heaps of bands out there. One that really comes to mind is a group of girls called Camp Cope, who really have kind of, like, rebirthed the Girls to the Front, like, I guess, ethos in Australian punk music, which is amazing. And people really, really get behind it. And it's done in a way that's, it's like, it's really fun. And to not sort of go with it is really not cool.
Uh-huh.
And I think that's the way to do it. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. I think so too. I think it's good that there's something happening. And one does feel that there's something happening in Australia, even when one's listening to the music of young musicians, female musicians especially.
Yeah. I mean, you tell me, like, for me, it's just like what's happening at home. But I guess, like, as an outsider, it would be really interesting to sort of, observe these different countries and see, you know, like, I mean, for me, like, you know, when I think about countries that are just breeding like incredible music. Like I think of like Iceland or, you know, like, yeah. you know, like the Nordic kind of countries and all those sort of places, or even sounds like Nashville and that kind of stuff. So, yeah. you know, you have these fantasy, these fanatical ideas about like, you know, what these places are like, but when you're in it, it's just like, yeah, this is just the way it is.
yeah. But I think that when one's listening to the Australian scene, if one can call it that, one does get an impression that's a bit too, you know, seen through the pink glasses or something.
Yeah, rose-colored glasses. Yeah, I know what you mean. But yeah, I mean, everything's flawed. Like every scene is like has its, you know, challenges and things that they need to work on. And, you know, the Australian scene is no different. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, I remember when we were touring with Tegan and Sarah at the start of the year and they were like, oh, you know, Australia, it's such a small, you know, small place. Like surely it gets really competitive. And I'm like, actually, it's really supportive. Like people really get behind each other. And I think that that's, you know, I think that that really speaks volumes.
Yeah. I think so too. Let's listen to another song of yours that speaks volumes. Alex Leahy, Mitt, I love you like a brother. I love that sentence. I mean, that's the perfect sentence for an LP or for a title, because it can be read in so many different ways, right?
Yeah, it certainly can.
It can be the hardest sentence that you can say to another person.
Totally.
And the sweetest sentence as well.
Yeah.
If you are the brother or sister of that person.
Yep.
Alex Leahy of Lux FM. I love it. I love you like a brother. Alex Leahy auf Flux FM. Das war der Titeltrack ihrer Platte, die im Oktober erschienen ist. Heute ist die Künstlerin in Berlin erschienen, um im Privatclub am Abend einen Auftritt zu spielen. Wir haben schon ein bisschen gequatscht über Same-Sex Marriage in Australia und die Platte, die ja politisches und privates miteinander verbindet. Jetzt will ich noch mal ein bisschen auf die Anfänge der Künstlerin zu sprechen kommen, die sich ganz gut vorbereitet hat auf die Musikkarriere. I've read that you were into musicians' autobiographies when you were a kid.
Yeah.
That you read Anthony Kiedis' Scar Tissue.
Where did you find all this?
In an interview.
Oh, no way. There you go.
Yeah, and you've read that interview or read that autobiography by Anthony Kiedis where he talks about his heroin addiction.
Yeah, I read it when I was like 12.
and when I read that, I was like, see, that's how you prepare for a career in the rock business.
That's how you find out what not to do. Yeah.
But did that really help to, or did it inspire you, or did you know which things not to do when you finished that book?
I don't know. I think I was really young when I read it. Like I was actually 12 years old, and I think for me it was like, whoa, like sex, drugs, like this is like crazy. Like what do people actually do this, you know? Mm-hmm. And sort of that was more what it was kind of about. But I think like, along with that, it was really cool to read about, especially how, like those guys really came up, you know, in like that, like the local LA scene and like just played gig after gig after gig after gig. And, you know, especially it was really interesting to read about, like the connections that you have with people musically. And obviously like with Anthony Kiedis, like him and Flea have been doing it together for, you know, forever. And, you know, just like that sort of chemistry and the relationships that happen within music, is really beautiful. But then also, like, you know, how we all owe it to ourselves to take care of ourselves.
I think so too.
And not run ourselves into the ground and be super destructive, because it just doesn't end well.
But because I was on, there's a German band called Beatsteaks. They're super famous and they're touring the big venues. And I went on tour with them for a few months because I had a camera and they were like friends and they're like, come on, just come with us. And I was like super astounded and super, I found it super interesting that those guys were super disciplined while they were touring. Yep. There was no such thing as sex and drugs and roll happening. Yeah. It was just maybe a few beers after the show, but then go to bed early. We have another show to play next morning.
You're at work.
Yeah, it's like work.
You're at work, man. Yeah. It's a job. Yeah.
And I think it's super important to get that into your head before you start working as a touring musician, because there's the whole trap of doing too much of this, doing too much of that still exists, I think, for people who are not thinking about what's going to happen. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, like, we all like to party every now and then. But, you know, when you have to get up at, you know, 4:30 the next morning and get a 6 a.m. flight to wherever, like, you know, you don't want to feel, you know, especially when you start touring and people are buying tickets to your shows and all that sort of stuff, like you really owe something you know, the fans and the people that come out and spend the money and take the time to come and see you play. Like, and to me, like, that exchange is the real high. Like, it's like, you know, experiencing those relationships with people like all over the world, like that is the most fulfilling thing I've ever experienced.
There's an exchange of energy that's happening when there's a rock show.
Totally.
You know? Definitely. There's energy from the audience coming up to the stage and definitely energy from the stage. I mean, I sound like a hippie when I talk like this, but I know, there's something is happening there.
But you know, I'm the same. Like, I'm very much not that kind of person. Like, I'm not one of those spiritual sort of people. But like, yeah, you can't. Some things you can't deny, and that's definitely one of them. And maybe that's why I do what I do, because I'm not like this. Doing this makes me think differently about the world.
Yeah, it helps sometimes. Making music helps. Yeah. You did start with the saxophone though when you were a kid as well. I think there's a little saxophone on the B Grad University record.
There's a teeny bit on Leave Me Alone, and there's a bit on the record on I Love You Like a Brother as well. In Backpack I play a bit of sax.
Okay. Do you sometimes use that instrument to find melodies? Because I think because it's an instrument that you use with your breath and stuff, it might be interesting to find your vocal melodies with it, but you don't play it a lot
anymore. Play much anymore. I don't actually enjoy playing saxophone that much these days. But I will say that I have never had a singing lesson in my life, and I reckon that learning saxophone taught me how to sing.
See?
I think it's the same physical, you know, processes are all the same. And I was once told by someone that I sing like a saxophone player, in that I hold notes.
Uh-huh.
I don't sing very very staccato much. Like, I tend to hold notes, which is a very like quintessentially like saxophone player thing to do.
See?
Yeah. And I thought that was really interesting.
It is interesting. Yeah. And it kind of like goes together with my theory. So I'm a happy man.
Yeah, it checks out, man. Well done.
Super nice. So what's tonight's setup? You brought the full band?
I did. I brought them all from Melbourne. Mm-hmm. There's my friend Sam, who plays guitar. Lockie plays drums, and Jono plays bass. And yeah, we've been touring together for like almost 18 months now, and we're in the second week of because we did the Australian tour before as well, so it's kind of like the fourth week of 3 months on the road together. So we're very much living in each other's pockets, but we're having a really good time, and it's important to be with your mates.
Yeah, that's true. And I think especially nowadays, it's more important to get the right people into the van. Speaking of people who bring the right vibe onto tour.
It's all about the vibe, man. About the vibe.
What if the guitarist is one of the best guitarists Australia has, but he's an asshole, you know? You don't want to spend weeks with him.
Nah. Stuff it. Yeah.
Just stop Sam's playing
great,
guitar.
Sam's great, though. I will say that. Sam's wonderful, and he's a good vibe. Yeah.
And he can play guitar.
And he can play
very well.
Very, very well.
And some people get all of that under one hat, and we love those people.
We do, and we keep him around.
Yes, you should. Wer heute Abend zu Alex Leahy gehen möchte in den Privatclub, der kann jetzt anrufen unter der 030 2000 9000. Berlin 2000 9000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück, wir haben Tickets für Alex Leahy heute Abend im Privatclub mit Full Band aus Melbourne. Wird sie auftreten, um die LP I Love You Like a Brother nochmal auf die Bühne zu bringen. Es werden natürlich auch die Hits von B-Grade University gespielt. It's going to be old school and new school material at tonight's show from Alex Leahy. 030 2000 9000 ist die Nummer. Zum Glück, I want to wish you the best of luck for tonight's show.
Thank you very much.
For the results of that survey in Australia.
Yeah, geez.
And for all the rest.
Unreal.
Alex Leahy, thanks for visiting.
It's my pleasure. Anytime.
And I'll see you soon. You know where we are right now. You just come in and visit us.
Yeah, sweet. I'd love to. Have tea.
Yeah.
Great.
See ya.
Cool. See ya.